The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. There is a bookstore owner out in Pasadena who downloaded and is currently making available to anybody who walks in the store, I guess, the Columbine CD-ROM that, as you know, has been made available to all of us in this country by way of the police in Colorado. I think ABC News has it available on their website. This Columbine CD-ROM is basically the full report on what happened at Columbine last year when those two kids went in and killed some 13 people, wounding 20-plus others. Bob Green is the owner of the store out in Pasadena today. I imagine, sir, that you have been inundated. And let me ask you a question here. You've downloaded the Columbine CD-ROM, and you were interviewed in a couple of local newspapers. Mr. Green, you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
All right, you were interviewed in a couple of local papers where you said, and I am quoting you, that the team of Klebold and Harris has to be respected on a rudimentary level for goal setting and achievement. Did you say that?
Well, Phil, I did say that, but like any other quote in the newspaper,
But you said that, excuse me, you said that they have to be respected on a rudimentary level of goal setting and achievement.
Phil, here are two young men, albeit dishonest and completely disgusted, who set out to do something and achieved it. And
but your quote makes it sound, and there's an awful lot of people today, sir, that your store is being picketed. Isn't that right?
We've had some people up front, yes, sir. And I really regret anybody misunderstanding my comments. I was attempting to say that these are two guys, this Klebold and Harris, who set out to achieve something. I read the Columbine report. It is, I got to tell you something, it is really, really sick. I'm telling you, it is sick. Okay, so I don't want anyone to think that I'm holding Klebold and Harris up to some level of respect or adulation. I'm just saying that there's a sort of a purity, I guess, to what they did that...
What are you talking about, man? These guys took guns. They went...
Mr. Henry, I've been misquoted in the press, and I've attempted to give accurate comments to the reporters that did speak with me. Yes, I am making the Columbine report available to people.
Yeah, and that's something else. Why are you doing that, man? You're not charging money. You're downloading it, you're printing it off, and you're giving it away. Why?
Because I don't think there's anything wrong with informing people and letting them see this report and letting them see for themselves. I mean, I'm telling you, this is some really sick stuff, and you really got to see this. Stephen King, you could do Clive Barker. I don't care who you want to talk about. Man, this stuff is—it's better than, I mean, I don't mean better in that sense, but it's more interesting, I guess. It's more fascinating.
Let me ask you something point blank here before you get into comparing this to the works of Clive Barker as something that, you know, I want to sit down some night after a hot bath and read it.
Mr. Henry,
is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, and I think I'm being very clear. I abhor what happened at Columbine. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the position that those two guys took. I don't.
What do you mean you don't agree with their position?
I'm saying that I don't think that what they did, you know, whatever complaint they had with the school, they went about it. Nothing is gained through violence. Nothing is gained through violence.
Are you saying to me that Klebold and Harris had a legitimate gripe with the school and should have addressed it and... some other way?
I think that's fairly obvious, Phil. They had a gripe with the school. You don't go in and kill 13 people without, you know, somewhere down the road having some complaint. I would say that there was some problem.
And yeah, but we're talking about maybe two guys that are mentally ill, not two guys with some political manifesto, you know?
Well, whatever the angle you're trying to go for there, I'm saying that I abhor what they did. I do not agree with what they did.
So why did you say to the local paper here, and you mentioned here that they used a day planner? That was an indication of their organization.
If you saw the report, if you saw the Columbine report, you're aware that they did use a day planner.
Yeah, I saw that.
All right. Well, that indicates some fundamental ability at organization.
Do you find that admirable?
admirable is probably too strong of a word.
What do you think about that?
I think it's surprising for young men their age to be that organized.
And so that's good?
Well, let me ask you this, Phil. Are we trying to get some good? Are we trying to find some good in this horrible tragedy? Are we looking to see what we can do in terms of picking ourselves up out of this rubble and finding our way out of it with a positive attitude?
I would say that there are a lot of people, the victims' families, number one on that list, who, yeah, are trying to learn whatever it is that they can learn, and they're trying to pick up, and they're trying to find a reason to live again, yeah.
All right. If it's any comfort to the people whose kids were shot, I want them to know, if you haven't seen the Columbine report, that Klebold and Harris did use day planners and were, you know...
Wait. How is that any comfort to the people...
I'm trying to tell... I am not a father, Phil, but if I were a father, and God forbid, I knock wood, if this were to ever happen to a kid of mine, I would hope that their lives would be taken, I guess by...
By a guy who had a day planner?
I think you're purposefully misunderstanding what I'm saying.
No, sir, I don't think I'm purposely misunderstanding anything. I'm hearing you. You said to the local paper, on a rudimentary level, you have to respect these guys for their goal setting and their achievement. And
I didn't say that I liked them. I didn't say that I agreed with what they did.
Okay. Now you tell me on my radio show, if there's any solace that the families of those poor kids can take from this, it's that their kids were shot by a couple of guys that used a day planner.
I think it's very unfair what you're doing, Mr. Hendry.
What am I doing wrong here? Let me know.
I am simply saying the two guys that did this, the project, or what do you want to call it?
The murder. That's a good word.
All right, the murder. All right. You use your words, I'll use mine. At least they weren't lazy, shiftless kids. I mean, I don't...
Yeah, they were a couple of real shining examples, man. Regular members of the Young Republicans, okay?
Your cynicism aside, the point I'm trying to make is... I don't like these guys. I really don't like them. And I want you to know that I don't like them, and I disagree with what they did.
Well, you know, Mr. Green, I'm glad you disagree with what they did. I disagree with it, too. I think going into a schoolyard and into a schoolroom with guns blazing and murdering people, I disagree with that, too. I don't want that language on my show, okay?
Another example, Phil, I understand that in his younger years, Adolf Hitler was a very good artist. Do you throw that out? Do you throw out the fact that Hitler was a good artist?
Do I throw it out? Yes, I throw it out. Okay?
Well, I just don't. In the course of a man's life, I think you have to look at everything. Klebold and Harris set out to achieve something. They did. They used a day planner.
Maybe they brushed their teeth that morning. Maybe they took a shower. Maybe there were a lot of things that they did positively.
I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying.
I understand perfectly with what I believe with what you're saying. You're trying to pull some positive thing out of this by saying that Klebold and Harris, at least they used a day planner, all right? And the quote that you have to admire these guys.
All right, I tell you, I don't admire them.
Because they set a goal and they achieved it.
I don't admire them.
All right, you don't admire them.
I do not. I am curious about them. I read the report. I got to tell you, Phil, have you read it?
No, sir, I have not. I mean, you have it, right?
I can make it available to you. I'd be happy to fax it over. It is some of the sickest stuff. Dude, it is really...
Dude. Hey, dude.
What?
What are you telling me here, man? What do you mean, dude? It's some of the sickest stuff. What do you say to me, man? That it was cool? That you dug it? That I had to read it?
Dude, all I'm saying is...
Hey, dude, look at my copy of the Columbine report.
All I'm saying, sir, is that it's very, very interesting. It's very wrong what they did, but it was very interesting what they did. What they did was interesting, but wrong. I mean, I'm saying it's a good read. Yeah, I compared it to Clive Barker. It's a good read, but it's bad, the things that they talk about.
All right, Bob Green is with me. He owns a bookstore in Pasadena. Mr. Robert Green owns this bookstore where they have making available copies of the Columbine report, which was released yesterday. They've downloaded it. They have copies of it. Additionally, Mr. Green gave a quote to one of the newspapers that he has to respect Klebold and Harris on a rudimentary level of goal setting and achievement. Now, you've made the comment to me, and our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686. You've made the comment to me, if there is anything positive that we can take out of this, you know, and I apologize for losing my temper a little bit there, but...
Well, Phil, I'm not losing my temper. I think I have a pretty clear view of how I feel about this. I'd ask you, how do you feel about it?
I'm revolted by it. I'm revolted by the, as many Americans were, I was completely shocked and stunned. I couldn't believe. I realized this country's sunk into some pretty low holes, but I didn't think we'd sunk so deep, so far, and so fast that in that entire spring of 1999, we had kids killing other kids on schoolyards. And
white kids, too. I guess that really surprised you, huh?
You know, sir, I don't want to get into that with you. And I know what you're doing. You're trying to make me look like the bad guy here.
I'm saying that the Columbine situation was bad. And I think Klebold and Harris, these are bad guys. But what do you want me to do? Throw the baby out with the bathwater? They're interesting. There were some pictures of them on the security cameras. Did you see the stuff they were wearing?
No.
They had on hats, and the way they carried the guns, it was a kind of compelling to see, almost the way German troops would go step into a town. You didn't want to look, but you must, because they were that well organized, that disciplined.
All right. Are you still making copies of this thing available?
Yes, we do have copies of it, Phil. And we will continue to download it and print it off. People have to read it.
All right, Robert Green. You'll notice that I'm not giving out the name of his bookstore. That was the one thing that I said I would not do, because we're not going to promote this guy's business. He is printing up copies of the Columbine Report. He calls it, quote, a good read. And that Klebold and Harris, while absolutely aberrant and two people that he doesn't support, he says that, you know, you have to take into consideration they used a day planner, they were organized guys. So I'm not quite sure where he stands on this. And that's the thing, that's, you know, it's kind of bugging me, Mike. I can't pin the guy down. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Is the Phil Hendry Show, talking to Robert Green, who is a bookstore owner in Pasadena. He has downloaded and making available to people the Columbine Report, which is released yesterday. You read it?
I did read it last evening, Phil. I got home very late, and my wife is asleep, and I had been working all day, so I brought the report home, and I guess, you know, you do what you do. I poured myself a glass of red wine, and it was kind of a cool evening in Southern California, so I lit a fire, and... made myself some finger food and just settled in for a good read.
I can't see. It's hard for me to imagine. You settled in with a good read. You had a glass of red wine and finger foods, and you read the Columbine Report.
I do not agree with what these young people did, Phil. I'm trying to make that point. But if you throw out the murder part, they were organized. You have to... I mean, would you admit that? I mean, they were
organized. Yeah, I guess they were organized. And
throw out the killing the people part. These kids had it together. So I really hesitate to characterize myself and my reactions as wrong. I don't want to see a video game come out about the Columbine thing, as a lot of people have talked about. I don't want to see a video game called Massacre High, where you're, from the point of view of the killer, stalking from classroom to classroom. It's probably something that Nintendo could do very well with their Dreamcast graphics are fantastic. But
you don't want to see this.
I do not want to see that. I don't want to see Massacre High, where the kids are shooting each, you know. I don't want that. I really don't.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Fallbrook on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Know, the one word that Mr. Green isn't using, but that seems to be dripping from all his comments, is impressed.
No.
He's impressed.
No,
yes,
that's
you
wrong.
Are. You're
no,
impressed,
ma'am, I am not.
Kids. You know what? Let me talk. You got to talk.
Okay.
You are impressed with what they did. The fact that Hitler was a good artist doesn't mitigate the fact that he killed millions of innocent people. The fact that these kids may have been intelligent, may have been organized, and used a day timer doesn't mitigate the fact that they killed 13 innocent people.
What if you were to throw out the murder part?
It.
What if you threw out the murder part?
You can't throw out the murder part. Oh, let's throw out the murder part about Hitler. Oh, well, he was a good artist. Let's put his stuff up on the auction block.
Not necessarily that, but at least you could say, well, that's something he did well.
It doesn't matter. If you want to find something positive...
Why doesn't it matter?
Now, let me talk. If you want to find something positive from this, is a survivor that goes on maybe to help victims of crime or a survivor that values life more.
You know, ma'am,
positive for
there was a time in our history.
Smart.
Ma'am, there was a time in our history, I'm sure you know, we had an appreciation for what we would call the rakish rogue, the bandit.
Does that make it okay?
No, but do you remember the Maverick theme? Who is the tall, dark stranger there? Maverick is his name.
You know,
he was a guy that was cheating people.
Gladiator last night, and I can see you sitting there with your popcorn and your glass of wine and your roaring fire watching the gladiators kill people. You're sick.
That's a part of history. Oh, so in other words, did you ever see Ben-Hur?
Did I know?
Well, what movie did you... See, I'm at a loss. I don't know what violent films you enjoy. What violent films do you enjoy?
Because everybody does this.
You said that you came home, you curled up with the Columbine report with a glass of Merlot in front of a crackling fire.
Oh, so now I'm supposed to go to... I mean, come on.
Now I'm supposed to go to jail for that. Is that it?
No, sir. There's just something odd about it. You know, just let me tell you. Let me get some finger foods, a crackling fire, and a glass of Merlot. And
Phil, we didn't throw out Bill Clinton just because he negotiated. You know, he got a blowjob. He did a lot of good.
He killed 13 people. He got a blowjob. He didn't kill anybody.
Wait a second. A lot of people wanted.
I can't imagine the parents of these children listening to you say, "I sat by the fire with a glass of 1947 Merlot in my finger food." They're probably throwing up.
Let me tell you, if you know where I can get a glass of 47 Merlot, I mean, you're my hero. I don't know.
Oh, well,
we're not talking
point.
About
oh,
wine
yes,
right now, okay?
Merlot.
We're not talking about wine. We're talking about you curling up in front of a fire with your Columbine report and your glass of Merlot. And what do you mean, Maverick?
I'm talking about a time in our history when the rakish rogue, the dashing thief and villain, was a part of our culture. And the song, "Who's the Long Dark Stranger There? Maverick is his name. Blowing like the wind through Oregon, blowing up a canyon, easier to tame. Riverboat, ring your bell. Farewell, Annabelle.
Love is a part of history. Killing Christians is a part of history. Killing Jews is a part of history. Does that mean it's okay now because it's a part of our history and it's written
in
a book
somewhere?
No, but
there was something rakish and roguelike about the SS. They were dashing.
Oh, so the SS was dashing.
Phil, I don't understand that.
I don't get you, man. What do you mean the SS was dashing, roguelike, as they filled the cattle cars full of women and children?
You know, the bottom line is he is impressed with these kids, and it's like him that read this report and think, ooh, this is cool. I could do this.
Nope, you're wrong.
I am not wrong.
Ma'am, I suggest you read the report because it's really
good.
No,
I don't want to read the report.
Read
Stephen King.
No, it's better than Stephen King.
It's better than Stephen King.
Maybe
it'll make the bestseller list.
We still buy VWs even though the Germans killed thousands of Jews. What about that?
Oh, my God.
What about that?
What
about that? Why do we buy VWs even though...
That's got nothing to do with anything. All of a sudden now you're negotiating with us intellectually this riverboat ring your bell, fare thee well, Annabelle. What the hell are you talking about, man? I'm not out with freaking Mark Twain in Missouri. I'm talking about this Klebold and Harris guy. These two clowns killed people. All right.
Maverick killed a few.
All I can say is that I'm going to pray really hard for you and everybody like you and everybody that's entertained by this report.
Thank you.
Pray.
Ma'am, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Anaheim on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Anaheim, yes.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this and
I
can't even believe what I'm hearing.
Stranger there. Maverick,
I don't feel that there's anything impressive or great about two kids going to school and killing other kids.
Even if you throw out the murder part.
We threw out the murder part and we're still not impressed.
Well, I think, you know, it's
you
very...
can't throw out murder. Murder is there, murder has happened.
Then
and
why
the
do
reason...
we drive Volkswagens? Why do we drive Volkswagens?
I can't even believe you're real. What are you
All right,
talking
hold,
about
hold,
Volkswagens?
Ma'am, hold the line for a minute. I'm going to take a break here. Bob Green is my guest. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686 with Robert Green is my guest here. He is a bookstore owner in Pasadena, and he has made available to people the Columbine Report, which you downloaded off of the website, correct?
That is correct, Phil.
Why are you doing this for free?
I really want people to see this. It is, obviously, this was an event that riveted the nation, and I read this thing. It's sick. I mean, it's...
It's sick, yeah. It's as good as a Stephen King.
Now, Phil, I think you've misinterpreted. It's as good as Stephen King. Yeah, it's gross. It's really gross. It is really gross. But it's bad what they did. And I don't agree with what they did, but by the same token, you have to look at that and say, you know, riverboat, ring your bell, fare thee well, Annabelle. What that means is...
Why are you continuing to quote Maverick?
Because of the rakish, roguish thing that he was. And
so Klebold and Harris are like Maverick. They're like Robin Hood. They were dashing and rakish and roguish. And it's like, you know, a Natchez to New Orleans, living on Jackson, Queens. Maverick's the legend of the West. That's what these guys are?
No, but it's kind of like that, yeah.
Oh, God. All right, let me go back to the lady in Anaheim. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, earlier you said that you don't have kids, and I think it's very much a blessing that you don't have kids because I would hate for more kids to grow up with this type of attitude. I think what you're promoting is sick. You don't need to be downloading anything about the Columbine
murder. Well, then why did they release it to the public?
It doesn't matter if they release it to the public. The fact that you're encouraging it,
encouraging
young
education.
People to go... No,
well,
that's
encouraging
not education.
Education. Oh, then what do you call
learning about
a report?
Murder and violence. Is not
all right, ma'am. Well, they did a report. You're aware that they did a report on Columbine.
Yes, I am.
Okay, and that you think that that's
but
wrong?
I think the fact that he, the way that he's putting this and the way that he's putting it out to the public,
I think you're misunderstanding
the right
me.
To have.
I think you're misunderstanding.
No, I don't think I misunderstand you. Just as I don't think anyone else misunderstands you. You're saying that some a travesty that happened.
Are you familiar with the Maverick theme?
Oh, will you stop with Maverick?
Yeah, I don't
seriously.
Need to hear that. It's not about a song.
Riverboat, ring
there's
your
nothing,
bell.
There's nothing positive about a song or a murder.
Nothing positive about a song or
and
a murder. I'll remember that. The next time I hear Whitney Houston, I'll remember that.
I don't think Whitney Houston sings about murders or Mavericks. I'm sorry.
Whitney Houston has never sung about Mavericks.
I don't think Whitney Houston promotes anything good about murders, wars, or especially the Columbine murders.
I do not
murders.
Think that we should start a video game called Massacre High. I do not.
No one asked you if you think that we should start a video game. Let me ask you a question. If someone went and killed
go ahead, very quick, and then I got to move on.
You should be happy because for once...
If someone went and killed your mother, are you saying that you should be happy because he had a good plan of attack?
No,
are you saying you would find positive aspects about the plan he used to kill your mother?
One of the positive things about this...
That's what you're saying, and what's worse is that you're saying it for kids.
No, I don't agree. One of the good things about this is, let me tell you something. For a long time, all we heard about were black kids shooting people. Now a white kid, and I think that takes the pressure off.
No, I don't think race is an issue right now, and I am black, and
off.
I don't think race is an issue. That's a totally different issue.
Don't you think that takes the pressure off for a lot of black kids?
Oh, boy.
You know,
let's get a lot of white folks out there shooting people up. That means the black kids won't take so much heat.
Yes,
well, that's
exactly.
A good thing, isn't it? Oh, come on. I'm trying to find a...
I think you're one of the most ignorant people I've ever heard of.
Ma'am, a silver lining to every dark cloud.
So you don't say that Klebold and Harris, well, the silver lining to the dark cloud is they used a day timer. So they were really organized. And, hey, riverboat, ring your bell, fare thee well, Annabelle, luck is the lady that he loves the best. Is that it?
Then you do know the Maverick theme. I'm impressed.
No, I don't know it. I just heard you singing it. Long Beach on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. What call am I going to here among these three? Long Beach?
Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Yes, I'm from Long Beach.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I really do not agree with that. First of all, I'm in high school, I'm 14 years old, and I get straight A's.
Well, let's say you went in and shot your teacher. Do we throw out all those straight A's?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you're kidding me. You worked hard for those straight A's.
Yes, I did.
So one morning you get up on the wrong side of the bed, you go in and you blow your teacher's brains out, it doesn't mean those straight A's get pitched out the door, does it?
Okay, first of all, this has nothing to do with...
What's your name, ma'am? What's your first name?
Amanda.
You want people to say Amanda was a real piece of dirt? No. Hey, at least she got straight A's.
Well, I think that the straight A's should be excused, because if I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, does that automatically excuse me if I got all straight A's?
No, it means, no, you should go to prison, but I don't think that when they write the story of your life,
they should throw out the straight A's just because you maybe shot 13 kids. I'm saying, you know, keep the straight A's.
Wait, just because I shot 13 kids?
Look, everybody has a bad day. Just because you, you know, you get one F on an exam doesn't mean you fail a course, does it?
No, it doesn't.
These guys had a bad day.
What do you mean they had a bad day?
Oh, my God.
What? What did I do? What did I say?
Okay, well, first of all,
you sound like you're gonna cry.
They wanted to be remembered for this. They wanted a movie to be...
I got to tell you, if you read this Columbine report, it's really, really sick, man. Dude, serious, it is sick.
Dude, you're like referring to this as some kind of joke.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are,
with this dude, it's sick. It's like you're telling me about some car wreck you saw, and it was really cool when the guy was on fire and he jumped out of the car into the ocean.
You know, it's funny you mention that because I saw...
Never mind what you saw. This lady's making a point. Just because she gets straight A's doesn't excuse her from being a criminal. And that's what we're saying. Thank you very much, ma'am, for your call.
Boy, I didn't know that you were going to pander to your audience as much. I probably wouldn't have agreed to come on your program.
I'm not pandering. I'm asking questions that I don't think you're answering here. We're talking with Robert Green. He's the owner of a bookstore. He made the statement to the press that Klebold and Harris have to be respected on a rudimentary level of goal setting and achievement. They were disgusting and dishonest, but at least they knew what they were doing and set out and achieved their goal. And you're further, you're making available the Columbine report to people for free. That just doesn't seem right to me.
I educate people. If that seems wrong, Mr. Henry, if educating people is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Beautiful. Here is West Palm Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
How you doing? Can you tell me any episode where Maverick or any other aforesaid hero villain walked into a school and murdered children with guns, shotguns, blew children?
Can you?
These two people...
Can
blew,
you?
No, I can't, because it didn't happen. There is no hero.
So, in other words, you've seen every episode of Maverick?
Nope. Doesn't matter. I know he didn't do that.
Wait a minute. I don't think that Maverick ever blew away school kids, okay?
There's no...
Wait a minute.
Have you seen every episode of Maverick?
No, I haven't, but I'm saying he was a rakish, roguish...
Look, this guy wasn't Robin Hood, okay? I mean, you're talking about rakish and roguish and and strangely alluring. This isn't Will Smith in the Wild Wild.
Well, wait a second. You guys said you haven't seen all episodes of Maverick.
No.
No.
So it's possible. I'm not saying he did, obviously, that the ABC wouldn't have allowed that.
I bet my life he didn't.
Yeah, I'll bet you anything that Maverick never blew away a whole schoolhouse. And in those days, all it was a one-room schoolhouse.
Anyway, but he walked into a school... And I don't know, automatic weapons, whatever rifles they had. And
blew away a whole schoolhouse full of kids?
Right. And what does it matter? What does it matter even that these kids, if these kids were straight-A students, which I don't think they were.
I think what you need to do, Klebold and Harris,
these two weren't straight-A students.
Well, I don't know, but they did. They were organized. I'm saying what you need to read. What I would suggest, sir, is get the Columbine report, which
was
made available.
Those two kids.
It was made available on CD-ROM.
I don't need anything on CD-ROM. I don't need to read that.
Pour yourself a highball.
Don't need a highball either.
Pour yourself a highball.
Yeah.
Pour yourself a highball. You need another highball.
Cuddle up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm getting myself a real good book, huh? And a crackling fire. Maybe I ought to wait for a rainy night.
Unbelievable. Where
you know something? I think both of you guys have misinterpreted
me. No hero villain that I can ever even think of.
Blew away a schoolroom.
Blew away a schoolhouse, school children, all that. No.
What about the guy in the, what do you call that show, Phil?
Which one?
Gunsmoke. What about Marshall Dillon?
What about Marshall Dillon? He walked into a schoolhouse.
Didn't he blow away some kids in the schoolhouse?
No.
What about that show with Chuck Connors, The Rifleman?
Yeah.
He blew away a lot of people.
He didn't go into a schoolhouse and kill kids.
The Rifleman, now there's a show I did see every episode.
And he never blew away
every
a bunch of...
Every episode, no. Chuck Connors never, ever
What about one of my...
The only sad thing about this Klebold and whatever Harris is that it's too bad they shot themselves and I couldn't get a hold of them.
What about that TV show with Vic Morrow, Combat?
What about Combat? About some Americans going through France in World War II?
Yeah, I'm a big TV buff.
They never shot up a schoolroom full of kids.
No, they didn't shoot up a schoolroom full of kids. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Yeah, Vic Morrow and the rest of the guys on Combat shot up a French schoolhouse.
Maybe a German schoolhouse?
Well, no, that would... No, they didn't shoot one of those either. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show 1-800-449-8686. Craig Taylor, my engineer, can't believe that people were snorting coke as early as the 1930s. So I began quoting Cole Porter music to him, and he's like, "God, that's rad." What was the flick you saw where Robert Duvall is snorting coke in the 40s?
It was New York.
Oh, Robert De Niro. Yeah, they were doing coke back then. They were shooting smack back then. It was highly underground. It was. You know, you could go away for life at one time if you were caught with a joint. You could go to prison for life in this country. Now, the thing that I read that was really fascinating, did I read this on the air or did I just mention it to you guys? And it was in the hemp anthology that you gave me, Mike, that at the 1876 Centennial Exhibition in Philadelphia. Now, we all went to our bicentennial crap if you were around. Or, you know, we've all been to big parties. America has 4th of July parties. 1876, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the centennial celebration of America. Wait, take you back over 100 years. They had hash dens. They had hashish expos. And the sign in front of the hashish expo at the 1876 American Centennial said, enhance your fair-going experience. Come on in, do a couple of blasts, and go on out and enjoy the fair. Now, check that out. Why were we born when we were born? You know, there's a trade-off, man. I realize the trade-off. But I would have been willing to brave diphtheria and tetanus and smallpox and raging gonorrhea if I could just go back to that period of time and go and enhance my fair-going experience. Check that out. And in the 1870s in America and in the 1880s in America, there were hash dens all over the country. New York City had 500. New York City police records from that period say that there were 500 hash dens in New York alone. And there were several in Philadelphia. There were several in St. Louis, Milwaukee, Boston, Providence, Rhode Island, etc. None in L.A. as far as we know. Well, I don't know. The Mexicans are running things there. Probably, you know, it's probably like better than that. No, but anyway. So, you know, all this bull crap about the good old days. Don't you love that when they talk about the good old days? Well, there was a time in this country when people were cool. Well, yeah, they were cool, but you don't mean that way. I mean the other way. So that's really cool, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? You could smoke hash legally in America, but all of a sudden we just got scared and we outlawed the whole kit and caboodle. I really firmly believe, and I know I'm not the first guy to say this, but I think the liquor lobby just somehow got somebody's, you know, sack in a vice and had a lot of guys playing ball for them and said, you know, we cannot survive if you allow, you know, legalized hemp and marijuana and hash trade in America. You're gonna have to make it illegal. And somehow, somewhere, they got some friends in Congress. And not only that, but they propagandized it completely out of the American psyche so that the use of marijuana was not only just illegal, but you know, using it would mean psychosis and your white girlfriend would fall prey to black musicians. That was part of the thing, too. Smoking dope meant that you would listen to jazz, and if you dug jazz, you'd be sleeping with black saxophone players. You, not your girlfriend, you would, and then your girlfriend after you. And that was the propaganda that was essentially spread in this country concerning marijuana, you know, the early to mid part of the century, so that we would completely flush it out of our psyche. And if it came back in, it came back in as the demon weed or the evil weed. But at the American Expo, the American Centennial in Philadelphia, where you're walking around with a top hat and a cane, and you got your girlfriend there with, you know, her Easter bonnet with all the fringe upon it, and you're riding on a Surrey with a fringe on top, and you go in and blast up a little rock of hash. Okay, thank you very much. Awesome. In your Easter bonnet. And you're, like, zoning on that. Some cat's at a piano playing Stephen Foster, and you just, that's radical. Do you know I Dream of Jeannie? Because that is awesome. I dream of Jeannie with the light. Yeah. Was the music back then stoner friendly? I don't know, you know. It's all you knew. You'd go into a saloon, just blast up a little sliver there of hash, go into a saloon, and listen to Stephen Stinkin' Foster. So here's an ad that we found here, because we found the Wizinator, and we found the other one. What's it called, Mike? Craig, the Wizinator and the Urinator. This one is called Urine Luck. U-R-I-N-E, Luck. Proven the number one additive in sales and results with over 200,000 satisfied customers. Now, this is a totally different thing. Hey, man, when you get caught with your pants down, you're in luck. Urine Luck is undetectable, contains no nitrites, no pyridine, no acid, no blah, 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 blah. Why the best? Do you know what other name brand additives in this magazine have in common? They're all copies of past Urine Luck formulations. Why trust your future with an outdated inferior additive? Insist on the best with Urine Luck. Call toll free and they give a number. There's even a picture here of Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong with his pants down, pretending like he's peeing. And this is different from the Urinator and the Wizinator, where it heats up somebody else's urine. This is an additive that you put into your urine that makes marijuana undetectable to the average drug test. Pass any drug test guaranteed. Tommy Chong's complete line of detoxifying products. Urine Luck with Urine Additive, $30. Detoxifying Carbo Drink, liquid or powder. One liquid or powder, 1 hour flush, $30. What? Get Clean Shampoo, removes toxins, $30. Five panel kit for cocaine, opiates, amphetamines, barbiturates, $35. Home test kit for marijuana, $15. Detoxifying quick flush capsules, 1 hour flush, $30. You're going to go home with all of this stuff? Just get all of your Tommy Chong detoxifying stuff and go home and just take all of it. He finds out he's got a drug test the next day for a big job. He goes home with all of his Tommy Chong Urine Luck and drinks the whole bottle. Tommy Chong's Urine Luck t-shirt. I need that, man. That's what I want. I want to walk around the office with my Tommy Chong Urine Luck t-shirt so that my boss won't ever suspect. Laboratory analysis, DOT test, including EMIT and G. This is what people are doing to pass drug tests and not put a crimp in their style. So there it is, the Tommy Chong stuff. When I looked at that, it said Tommy Chong's complete line of detoxifying products. All of a sudden, Peter North flashed into my mind with that penis pump. These two guys that I get together between them, they're multimillionaires. So there you have it, and at one time, it was all legal. What happened to our country? If you want to talk about the good old days, at one time, this stuff was legal. And supposedly we were a better place. That's what they tell me, 19th century, Victorian era, in your Easter bonnet with all the fringe upon it, and dope was legal. So for anybody out there who yearns for the good old days, whether it's Pat Robertson, Newt Gingrich, whether it's any of those revisionists, why don't you read your own speeches, guys? If things were so good back then, let's make that stuff legal. Because apparently we were having a whole hell of a lot more fun. Either that or why don't you guys just die? There's a good idea. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.